Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathy Merini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HALC staff. Harry Mark Petrakis, one of the Greek American community's greatest and most beloved authors, passed away at the age of 97 on February 2nd. Petrakis was a major figure in 20th century Chicago literature and was at the forefront of a movement in which America claimed its identity through its ethnic writers. His focus on the experiences of Greek immigrants in Chicago established him as the premier chronicler of the city's Greek town and gave a unique voice to the community. Petrakis authored 24 books, mainly fiction, and a number of short stories. Dan Mihalopoulos, an award-winning journalist and investigative reporter for WBEZ, Chicago's NPR news station, who also profiled Harry Mark Petrakis and emceed his induction into the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame in 2014, joins us to talk about the legacy that Petrakis leaves behind. Dan, welcome back on the Greek Current podcast.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Before we dive into Harry Petrakis' work, what can you tell us about Harry Petrakis' early life experiences as a Greek-American son of immigrants on Chicago's South Side? Are there any moments that really shape him as a writer from these years?
So when you talk about Harry Mark Petrakis, we have to remember he was the son of a priest with all that entails. The sons and daughters of priests often are in a very harsh spotlight, but his father was someone who had a lot of interaction with people of other faiths. So I think he would say that he was shaped a great deal by people of different faiths, often clergy who would come to their home and he would have dinner with them and learn a lot about the different communities in Chicago. I think any time you grow up during the Depression, that also shapes you to a great extent. But particularly in his case, he was ill. He was bedridden for a couple of years. I believe it was tuberculosis, you know, before they had developed all the ways to treat it and to prevent it. And so he often spoke later on in his life about not being able to run outside and play with the kids and instead immersing himself in books and reading voraciously at a very young age for a couple of years at a stretch there. And that, of course, shaped him tremendously and opened his eyes to the possibilities of consuming and creating literature.
When Petrakis began his writing career, a Sun Times article that was published today as a tribute to his life points out that he earned nothing for 10 years but rejection notes. When does his work start to really get noticed? And is there a specific article that propels his career forward?
You know, I think he had a great deal of difficulty for a number of years. It's something that he talked about many years later after he had many successes. And I think it still marked him in a way in that he remembered the criticism of maybe many in the community or other people close to his family. You imagine the pressure being a young man with a young wife and a young family. And, you know, people would generally think, well, he's a starving artist. And he did try various things. I believe at one time he was a restaurateur even, and it just wasn't what he was cut out for. He was also going a lot, I think, to bet on the ponies, too, at that point in his life. And so he was under tremendous stress until finally one of his short stories was published. And then later on, he was able to publish novels and then even have some of his novels optioned and turned into movies.
In that same tribute in the Chicago Sun-Times, Henry Kaiser, a retired book editor and author of 10 books, said Petrakis, quote, belongs right up there with Studs Terkel, Nelson Algren, Gwendolyn Brooks, and Carl Sandburg, among others, who showed how ordinary Chicagoans could be extraordinary Americans. What's the thing that stood out most about his writing style?
So at first, I think when he had difficulty and was unable to get published, you know, he was writing about things that he didn't really know about. When he turned his focus and he looked for the raw material of his work in his own life experience, in the Greek communities of Chicago, in the Greek town on the Near West Side, much of which has been, you know, obliterated over the years by the construction of the University of Illinois Chicago and the Eisenhower Expressway and whatnot. But he wrote very evocatively of that world that existed and of the people from Greece who in that time were strivers, like all immigrants, were hustling to try to feed their families and improve their lot in the world, primarily economically. And here was Harry Mark Petrakis in the world of letters and reflecting that ethnic community. And so he became a voice of the ethnic communities in Chicago. And you know, he didn't idealize them. He showed the many frailties of some of these ethnic Americans. But I think his work always showed a great love for his roots and also a great love for Chicago and Chicago's Greek community. You know, having been basically a Southside Greek himself growing up in the Washington Park area at a time when there were obviously more Greeks around there than there are now.
He's been described as the premier chronicler of Chicago's Greek town. How important is his writing to understanding that Greek-American experience, not only as we see it play out in Chicago, but in other cities across the United States?
Well, there are all sorts of Greek-Americans, as we know, but it's primarily been an urban experience, right? Chicago, New York, Boston, San Francisco, and those are some of the larger Greek communities in the United States and in North America, and he really gave a sense of the communities and how they were trying to make their way in America, living often very humbly, very poorly at first, and in sometimes menial type jobs, but being aware that they have this legacy from the old country, which is really the foundation of Western civilization, of arts and literature and knowledge. So I think that he was very cognizant of that, and you get a very strong sense of the restaurants, the bakeries, and the other businesses that populated the Halsted Street Greek town when it was the largest of the Greek community. So yeah, I would rank him up there with writers like Helen Zis-Papanicolaou, who wrote about the miners out in Utah. And by the way, Petrakis, too, often would recall that his mother and father, when his father was first brought to the United States as a priest, actually began out in the Salt Lake area with the Cretan miners out there, who were the backbone of that community. And then I think he was born in St. Louis when his father was at a parish there. And then ultimately, they were on the south side of Chicago, which had one of the largest parishes in the country at that time.
You wrote that when pretty much every Greek you knew in America was understandably focused on making money for their family, Harry Petrakis was the rare writer telling the stories of these ethnic communities. How would you say that his writing inspired you and other Greek Americans?
I think he's a big inspiration to a lot of Greek Americans in that he did show a different path. You know, when I was a kid, I'm a middle-aged guy now, but I first saw Harry Mark Petrakis, I'm fairly certain, when he came to my Northwest suburban parish. In addition to being a very accomplished and respected writer, he's basically at heart a storyteller, and he was in person a spellbinding speaker. And so in my community, like a lot of the Greek parishes, there were people who are second and third generation at that time. And then there were people that were, you know, as we say, and I think we can say this, quote unquote, fresh off the boat, right? Or more recently arrived. And so we, as children of immigrants in my family, it was really something very new to us to see a Greek American who was a published author and who stood up and talked about it, and in a way that commanded the attention, because a lot of the people in the community that were considered the leaders of the community were the business people who donate to build those churches, who do accomplish that American dream of making money. But Harry Mark Petrakis represented something very different, as he was an artist.
You visited him and his late wife at their home when you wrote a profile of him in, I believe, 1999, as you point out on Twitter. You also emceed his induction into the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame in 2014. What are your most vivid memories of Petrakis from your meetings with him?
So I think he lived for most of his life, at least the last 50 years or so, I would guess, if not longer, actually outside of Chicago, near Chesterton, near the Indiana Dunes. Beautiful house. Really amazing view. He had sort of a writer's den that he took me up to, which was kind of at the top of this home. And it was a tremendous view of Lake Michigan. I think you could see across the lake to Chicago, at least on clear days. You could see the skyline. And so Chicago was never far from his mind. And he wasn't very far from Chicago, of course, essentially in a suburb or an exurb of the city out along the lake, but it was more of a holiday community where he was very kind to invite me. I went along with him to a book signing that he had at one of the shops there along the Indiana Dunes, and he was tremendously gracious with his time. Having been someone, I think, who had a difficult period before he was published, was very open to supporting younger writers, particularly Greek Americans, but all sorts of younger writers. I think he mentioned to me he had a lot of support from other communities, from the Jewish community, from other Chicagoans who really helped him in his career. and was really generous with his time at that point already, I think about 75 years old, but continued to write until the very end. So it was a great honor to introduce him to the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame. It was at the Hellenic Museum in Greektown. So I think he was very happy to be in Greektown again, which is really the setting for so many of his stories. But my most vivid memory from when I visited his house, he was showing me a lot of the knickknacks and photographs that he had accumulated throughout his very interesting career and life. And one of the things he had very proudly on the wall was a picture of some Cretan men. I believe they might have been his family, with very thick, lustrous mustaches and very big guns. And he said to me something to the effect of, boy, could you imagine, or how would you like to have offended one of their mothers or sisters? And, you know, basically he's saying you'd be dead if you did that. But, you know, he was very proud of his heritage, no doubt, and that shined in every conversation that you could have with him. But I found him to be very encouraging to young Greek Americans and other aspiring writers.
I want to move us to Greek history, which is a topic that Petraeus covers in a lot of his work. And given that this year is the bicentennial of Greece's independence, I think it's all the more important to talk about this aspect of his writing. Aside from chronicling the Greek-American experience, he's also written about, you know, Greek mythology history, including the Greek Revolution in 1821. How important would you say this storytelling was and is in capturing these historical moments?
Yeah, I think Greece was extremely important to Harry Mark Petraeus, not only the Greek-American community as a theme in his work, but understanding and knowing his roots. I know he went back to Greece, and it wasn't like it is now where people would go back and forth every summer, you know, or even more frequently. You know, he went many years, I think, without going to Greece, and then had the opportunity to go later on. Did a lot of research for his books, historical research. So when he writes about the Greek Revolution, and he writes very vividly about not only the patriots of Greece who fought for their independence after hundreds of years of subjugation at the hands of the Ottoman Turks, but also talks about really the atrocities that are committed in war on all sides and some of the very gory details. So again, that's when he was writing with about the Greek-American community. He doesn't idealize the history. He shows the people with all of their strengths and frailties and all of their great virtues and some of the things that they do that are not so virtuous. So I think he was very interested in Greek history and in reflecting that and doing so accurately, even within works that were essentially fiction.
And the book that he wrote on the Greek War of Independence is The Hour of the Bell. If you search it, you'll be able to find it and pick it up either at your library or online on Amazon or one of the bookstores. But Dan, I want to wrap up with a last question. What are your favorite Petraeus stories or novels? If you had to pick a list of maybe top three that you think our listeners absolutely need to read, what would you recommend?
So his probably most famous work was A Dream of Kings, but I'm a big fan of the sequel from around 1990 called Ghost of the Sun. And it's a very moving book about guy who goes back to Greece after he had been tortured in the junta, went to the United States to escape the military dictatorship and tried to make his way through life in the Greek community here and then go back to the old country. That's a book that I took with me. I remember reading on the airplane on one of my first trips to Greece as a teenager, and that was published around 1990. So he was very prolific throughout his life. I would recommend a collection of his short stories. There are many, many wonderful short stories, and in some ways, I sometimes feel that that was his strongest genre. And then finally, there were these really, really tremendous essays that often relied on memories that were decades and decades old that were published in the Sun-Times on the op-ed page of the Sun-Times over the last few years. So if you just Google Petraeus and Sun-Times, you'll not only get that wonderful obituary that Tom Frisby wrote today, but you'll also find some essays that he had written. And just to show you that his memory will be eternal, some of those essays, we get the Sun-Times at home, and a couple of them I've read or had my daughter read. Because again, like I experienced, I want her to see some people who reflect the experience of our communities in the media that they consume.
Dan, thanks for joining us and for sharing these stories of Harry Petraeus.
Harika, harika, nasa kalasa.
In other news, in view of the upcoming informal summit on the Cyprus issue and recent strategic agreements, Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis will travel to Nicosia and Jerusalem in rapid succession on Monday. In the case of Israel, discussions with Prime Minister Netanyahu are expected to include not only the strategic agreements already signed between the two countries, but also future ones. Tourism will also be high on the agenda, given that a large part of the Israeli population will have been vaccinated by this summer. Meanwhile, Mitsotakis said Greek and Turkish officials are likely to meet again at the end of February or in early March for another round of exploratory contacts. Finally, British Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab called for flexibility ahead of a fresh bid by the United Nations to resume efforts toward resolving the Cyprus problem. Following his meeting with President Nikos Anastasiades in Nicosia on Thursday, Raab said the UK is committed to supporting a just and lasting solution to the division of Cyprus, and said he reiterated to Anastasiades that the UK supports an open and flexible approach to upcoming talks. Raab also met with Foreign Minister Nikos Christodoulidis, who stressed that Cyprus hopes to see formal negotiations resume from the point at which they left off in 2017 at Grand Montana, adding that a comprehensive settlement must be in line with United Nations Security Council resolutions. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.